if you're walking in obedience to God's word, you don't have to worry about going down and getting the flu shot. You don't need it. Provided, of course, you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. You will live out your life to the full. You will not be sick until God gets through with you. You know, when I've told a lot of people, when they say, how long are you going to live? I said, I don't know. Until God's through with me. When God's through with me, that's when I'm going to go home. You know, I told Cheryl lots of times, I said, if I'm walking through the hallway there and I fall over and you come over and you feel, you don't sense that I'm breathing or don't feel no heartbeat or nothing else, I said, don't call 911. Just make sure I'm dead. You know, just make sure I'm dead and then praise the Lord that I'm dead. You know, and then call the people to take me to bury me. You know, I said, because it's over. But I said, don't take me to no hospital. I don't want to go to no hospital. Don't call 911. I do not, I know, I forgot now, I believe whenever we did, when Pat called 911 for Wally when he had his heart attack and died in the middle of the night. I forget what she told me that cost for him to make that ride, but I think it was $3,000 or $4,000 they wanted to charge her to take him from right up here, just right close to here, just only 6 or 8 miles up the road to the hospital. I couldn't believe, you know, that they was, and he was already totally, completely dead. He'd had a heart attack in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning. He passed away, and she called me, and we prayed, and she called me back in 20 minutes and said, Thurman, he's not breathing or anything. And I said, well, you know, we need to do something. She said, well, I've already called 911, and they're on the way to take him to the hospital, but he was dead. Already dead. But that ride in that ambulance was $3,000 or $4,000, I believe. Isn't that awful? What they charge you for those kind of things. But the Lord says there, if we make him our Lord and our Savior, he will protect us from the fatal plague. He will shield you with his wings. He will shelter you with his feathers. His faithfulness promises are your armor and your protection. Now, we have all these wonderful promises all throughout the Word of God, which we'll go through several of those today before we get through. We have these wonderful promises from God that we can stand on now under the new covenant. Verse 5 and 6 said, do not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor fear the danger of the day, nor dread the plague that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. So what are we supposed to be afraid of? Not a thing. I mean, not a thing. That's just like this. We had a woman here the other day. She came in and she said, 4 years ago, I had been carrying around an oxygen bottle for a year and had a mask and everything on, those little things in her nose, breathing. And she said, I got the feeling worse. And so she said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor ran some tests, and he said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but I'm very sorry to tell you, but with the complications that have come up in your body, maybe you have 24 hours to live. How does most people receive that when a doctor tells you that? Do they receive it? Most of them do. Most of them do. Most of them say, oh my goodness, I got 24 hours to live or maybe less. What am I going to do? And they go start screaming and go into hysteria. This woman, she says, God made me a lot of promises in his word. She said, I repent of all sin and I'm going to start standing on his promises. She took the thing out and threw it away, dropped the bottle that she was dragging along and said, Doc, I'm going home, I'm going to live and not die, and I ain't going to be sick no more after today because God's already paid the price for my sickness. And as she walks out the door, he said, ma'am, you won't never get home. She said, that is 4 years ago, and I ain't been sick since. She was just standing right here just a few days ago and told Cheryl and I that story. Now, what does faith do for us today with God's promises? It'll heal you. It'll give you power and authority over the enemy, but you got to believe it. Well, we'll show you some of those as we get through them. But like right here, he said, don't be afraid of the terror of the night, you know, especially if you're a Christian. You're living under the new covenant. Nor fear of the dangers of the day, nor dread this plague that stalks in darkness, nor the disease, the disaster that strikes at midday. You don't have to be afraid of none of that because it's all out there, I guarantee you. It's all out there, but you don't have to be afraid of none of it. Verse 7 and 8. So 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 are dying around you. These evil will not touch you. Now, that's a lot of people. 1,000 or 10,000. You know, I can only remember when my brother-in-law came back from Normandy. He was in that group that hit Normandy Beach. He said, on the way over there, there was guys playing cards, laughing, joking, cussing God, and doing all kinds of things. Some of them said they didn't believe in God, but he said, let me tell you, when we hit that beach and the guys started getting blown all to pieces, he said, them guys were in them foxholes calling out to somebody. You know, a lot of men died there in Normandy. It's amazing what God has to do to get some of our attention. You know that? Well, don't let him have to go there with us, you know. I don't want to have to go there to get my attention. Do you? No, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to be shot up. I had enough in Vietnam. I don't want any more. And, you know, we got these poor boys over there in Afghanistan and Iraq right now. And my heart goes out to those boys because I know that they're over there getting killed because of sin in America. It's our sin that we're paying the price for. But the whole world's paying the price for sin. But anyway, I will say that for the young men that don't want to die in those foreign countries, if they'll make God, the Most High God, their God, and they'll quote this Psalms 91 every day, what did he promise to deliver them through? Did he say, you'll see 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you? Is that what he said? Can you imagine 10,000 men getting killed and you're the only one left standing? Can that happen? He says it can. Now, which one lived? The one that made him, the Most High God, their dwelling place. In other words, nothing can touch you according to God's word, if you make him, the Most High God, your dwelling place. That's all we got to do, is make God our dwelling place, and then nothing can touch us. He says, you will see it with your eyes, but you will see how the wicked are punished. The wicked are the ones that got killed. Isn't that something? Somebody said, well, I knew one of the boys over there that got killed. I didn't think he was wicked. Well, God is the one in control of all that. He knows every heart, doesn't he? I guarantee he is the one in control. And he does what he does for a reason. Now then, verse 9 and 10. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High God your shelter, see here again, right in the middle of this psalm, he's telling you one more time, if you will make the Lord your refuge, in other words, you dwell in his word, you're studying his word, you're making him, the Most High God, your dwelling place. You talk about him, you love him, you worship him, you praise him on a regular basis, and you're not ashamed of the Most High God. He says, how much evil will conquer you? None. No evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your dwelling. Where is my dwelling? Right here. This is my dwelling place. This is your dwelling place. He said, if you meet all of the requirements of the Lord, that no evil will befall you. No evil will conquer you, and no plague will come near your dwelling. So when we get sick and afflicted or something happens to us, what is it? What should be the first question out of our mouth? This is what, anytime anything even begins to affect me, any way, form or fashion, this is my first question. What have I done, Lord, that does not please you? What have I done that does not please you? Just like the book of Job says, if you will tell me, Master, I will be happy to repent and change what I'm doing. That's what he wants you to hear. That's what he wants to hear. He wants you to make that statement to him, Lord, I am willing to repent. If I got a problem, obviously, there's something I've done that maybe what I've done is not spend enough time in your word. Maybe it's unbelief that's killing me. Because, I mean, it's amazing when you ask the average Christian today, Do you believe God is a Savior? Well, He can save if He wants to. Do you believe He's a healer? Well, I know He can if He wants to. Do you know Him? No. Do you go to church? No. And some people say, do you know Him? You say, I hope so. I hear all kinds of crazy answers. Nobody. I hear this all the time. People say, well, you don't know what's going to happen to you when you die. I said, of course I know what's going to happen to me when I die. I'm going to heaven. Nobody knows that until you die. I said, oh, yeah, I know that. Is there anybody in here besides me that knows that when you die, you're going to heaven? Do you know you're going to heaven? You ain't going to hold up your hand? Boy, there's one back there got their hand up. They ain't never going to put it down. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, that was Sharon. You know where you're going, don't you, Sharon? We're going to heaven when we die. Now, if you don't know that, if you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, you need to have a serious talk with God today. And you need to make sure He's your Lord and your Savior. You agree with that? Yes. Because everybody wants, you don't want to miss heaven. You will not enjoy the alternative. I can assure you it will not be enjoyable. And, you know, I thought yesterday I was watching a little Christian television, and there was a couple of guys that I guess they're still movie stars, I don't know, but they used to be movie stars. And they both got saved and are out doing the Lord's work, and they're walking around in different cities and talking to different young people about Jesus. And they're asking questions, you know, do you believe there's a God? No, I'm an atheist. And he says, well, you know, when you look at that tree over there, where do you think the tree come from? Well, it grew up out of the ground. Well, from what? Well, a seed. Where do you think the seed came from? It evolved. I thought, boy, they've been to college. They've really been to college. How can you be so stupid? You know, how in the world can you be so stupid to realize, you know, I just don't understand how people can be that dense. But I do know that because of our sin, God says in His Word, He blinds our mind and our eyes so we do not see and understand these things. He says that. Do you know God says that?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Live in the Word, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.